prayer. Ask continued interest in your prayers. We'll turn to Psalm 66 tonight. Psalm 66. One of the recurring themes, one of the unmistakable themes of Psalms is praising God. As a church, we ought to be praising God. As individuals in our homes, we ought to be praising God. And while we have things that occupy our time and claim our attention and all that throughout the day, even though we may not be praising Him audibly with the words that we're saying, our conduct ought to be praising God. David says, I'm not sure if this is a psalm of David. It is a psalm, song or psalm. 66, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Joyful noise. You know, whatever we're singing when we gather together, whether it's a song about our experience, whether it's a song about some attribute of God, when we look at that song and understand, and we need to be singing with understanding, don't we? I mean, if there's a song that says something that we don't understand, maybe we better wait until we understand what it's saying before we sing that song. That's why sometimes we'll encounter a word in some of these songs, and I'll just ask and make sure we know what that word is. It might be a word that we don't use. Maybe it's an old English word, or maybe it's something that we're just not familiar with, but we need to sing with the understanding. Okay? And so when we're admonished in the word to make a joyful noise unto God, I love good singing. You know, I love trained voices and the harmony that's just right and getting the notes right and all that. But I'll tell you something, I've heard good voices that wasn't what I thought was praising God. I'm not being critical. I think we ought to try to sing as good as we can. But if we're missing the element of joy in the sound, we've missed it altogether. Because God is so worthy to be praised that when we understand that we're singing to Him, it ought to be songs of joy. And even when we're not singing together and when we're out throughout our day, just the very thought of maybe one of these songs or just the thought of God Himself and what He is and what He's done for us and what our hope is. I tell you, whether you break out an audible song or not, it ought to cheer your heart. There ought to be some joy there. And if there's no joy there, then we need to examine ourselves and see what's wrong. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. He's worthy that all, without exception, should praise His holy name. But we know they're not going to do it. Okay, and we understand that the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. There's foolishness unto him. Okay? But that aside, what about us? What about us? Are we singing unto the Lord with joy? You know, he says, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. It's just, that is so fundamental and so important because it says something about where our mind and where our heart is. You know, I enjoyed the song service tonight, by the way. Good spirit, good selections, thank the Lord for that. And that's the way it ought to be. He's worthy enough that it ought to be that way every time. The variable is, where's our heart? Where's our mind? What have we been doing? Are we prepared for worship? Are we thinking about it so that we realize the truth of it and feel the joy from it? The goodness of it, the truth of it, the power of it is always there. We're not always there with it, though. And so this, though it's so simple and so fundamental, it is so important that we make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. The honor of his name. Reverend is his name and his alone. Some men have tried to have taken that title upon themselves, but they're not worthy of it. They're not deserving of it. They never will be deserving of it. Oh, but bless your hearts, God is. And he deserves honor and glory and thanksgiving every day we live. Really, every breath we breathe. Okay? All right, so sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Let me ask you something. Think about it now. The praise that you've offered up to God, has it always been glorious? Now, I'm not saying the sound of it. I'm saying the joy of it. That joyful noise that we're to be making unto the Lord. Has it been glorious? I believe, I don't care how awful someone's voice might be, if the heart is right and they're desiring to give praise unto God, it is honorable unto him. Amen. It honors him because he looks on the heart. Now, it's nice to have a pleasing voice. It's nice to have a trained voice. It's nice to be it together, and, you know, that helps, doesn't it? Oh, but bless your hearts, the important thing is that our heart is tuned to praise and honor our matchless Lord. He's worthy of it. He deserves it. We're not worthy of it, but he sure has done a whole lot for us. All right? So make his praise glorious. Now already in these first two verses, we made the distinction earlier that not everybody's going to do that. And I'll go so far as to say that not all of God's people are always going to do that. So the question is, are we? Are we going to do that? Could we stand to improve? Okay, I heard some yeses there. I'm glad of that. We could. I could. I know I can. Okay, maybe you can too. Now bless your hearts, it's God's people's. Not only are they the ones who can, they're the ones who should. Because the other folks are never going to. And isn't it a shame? As glorious as God is, as wonderful as he is, as merciful as he is, as long-suffering as he is, and as loving and kind and gracious and good that he is, isn't it a shame that he doesn't get any more praise from the lips of men than he does? We have an opportunity every day we live to have a part in that. Why, even the heavens declare the glory of God. Now, I've heard Primitive Baptist ministers, well, one at least, you know, say there's no way that the stars can praise God. Well, I beg to differ, because that's the word, what the word says. They do. They're doing exactly what he made them to do. And they're doing it 24/7, 365 and a fourth days out of the year. They're always doing what God made them to do. That's right. So we could learn something from that, could we? We could take an example from that. They do praise God. The heavens declare. I tell you, it's mighty glorious when you look up into the heavens, isn't it? Think that our God, who loved us so much that he would be mindful of somebody like me, that made all this, and all this world, and all the beauty of it, my goodness, he deserves praise. And he deserves it from us, not just somebody else. Okay? Verse 3. So, we establish the fact that he deserves it. Now he gets into a little more detail in verse 3. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. In other words, it's awesome. Awesome. You know, we use that word terrible to think of something that's bad. Oh, but he's awesome. I love to think about God, how awesome he is. Just stand in awe of all that he did, all that he has done, all that he is doing, and all that he will do, and all that he is. All right? Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. Well, let's see. Nebuchadnezzar learns a lesson, didn't he? He thought he was something. God showed him he was nothing. All right? But a whole city of people. Well, not only there, but I'm thinking about Jericho. Remember Jericho? The great works that God did for the children of Israel in defeating Egypt and delivered them out of Egypt and then parting the Red Sea and then them crossing over on dry land. And then the same army that was wanting to chase after them and destroy them or capture them and bring them back to Egypt, God drowned them in the sea. They couldn't do what God allowed for his people to do, and that is go across the Red Sea on dry ground. Did that really happen? That must have been glorious. That must have been awesome. Scientists today are studying water, and they found a fourth state of water. Boy, they figured something out. It's in the Bible. You know, you got the water, and you got steam, and you got ice. We've known all that. But now scientists say there's a fourth state, and it's like a gel. You believe that? Psalms, let's see, I can't remember the address right now, but anyway, in Psalms it talks about the waters congealed. It gelled so that the children of Israel could pass through. However God did it, if he turned it into jello for a while, that's fine. However he did it by his power. What I'm getting to is the other nations around about them heard about it. The word got there before they did. Remember what Rahab said? Our hearts did melt. The fear of God was upon that city. Yes. What did he say? Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. That's what happened there. The greatness of his power. Do you know that power is no different tonight? Doesn't it excite you sometimes to think about the power of God when you dwell on it and you think about the mighty works that God has done? Doesn't it excite you? Well, he's always that way. It's us that are not thinking about it. But he's always that way. I know he is. You do too, don't you? Because he cannot change. He cannot change. All right? He's perfect. In all the glory that he is right now, he's perfect. And if he was ever changed, it would be changing away from perfection. God cannot change. Verse 4, all the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Pause and think about that. All the earth. I don't know all the earth. I'm not all around all the earth, but I'm in my little world. Bless your hearts. We need to be praising God more than we have. We need to be singing unto him of his great power. We need to be singing unto him in reverence and thanksgiving and glorifying his matchless name. Every one of us who've been touched and tendered by the grace of God have that opportunity every day. How often do we forfeit it? How often do we choose to do something else? Think about it. Verse 5, he's been speaking to those who have the ability to do so. Now he's inviting others. Come and see the works of God. He's terrible in his doing toward the children of men. Who would have thought that God had a people in Jericho? You know, there were places that Abraham went and he said, surely fear of the Lord's not in this place. But it was. It was. Let us never judge that somebody else, sometimes we're in the company of people that don't express any reverence for God, but we need to be careful not to judge them. Need to be careful. You never know. That's his business. And so as we think about all the earth shall worship. Come and see, he says, the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. Oh, it brings glory to his name for us to speak of those mighty acts that God has done. Love to think of it. Don't you love to think about how he exercised his power to part the Red Sea? Don't you love to think about how he exercised his power against these kings of the earth when they rose up and tried to thwart the purpose of God and God put them in their place? Don't you just wish that he would do some of that today? Well, he probably is. Maybe he has. Oh, but bless you. We desire to see God working mightily. We desire to see him work, showing himself strong. Okay? Because he is such. He's able to do. And if it's his will, he will do it. All right, verse 6. He turned the sea into dry land. We already talked about that a little bit, hadn't we? Okay? They went through the flood on foot. Apparently, he's talking about the River Jordan there. When they came into Canaan's land, the priests put their feet in the water and it dried up. Stood up on a heap on one side and ran off on the other. They went across on dry land. That's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, a few words here, but it's amazing. There did we rejoice in him. You know what they did after the waters closed in on the Egyptians? Remember Exodus? That happened in Exodus 14, didn't it? All right, what happened in Exodus 15? Not yet. They sang a song of joy. Exodus 15 is a Moses' song of joy, the title of my Bible. They were praising God. They were thanking him. They had just witnessed with their own eyes marvelous deliverance. I mean, we're talking about the Red Sea. We're not talking about the Reed Sea, like, men have said that it was about ankle deep and they could cross across there, and some have said, well, that was just a bigger miracle that they drowned the Egyptian army in ankle deep water. But it was the Red Sea. We don't have to make jokes about the Reed Sea. It was the Red Sea. It was deep. God, by his power, parted it. Let his people go across. let the Egyptians go in and let the waters come down upon them and drown them in the sea. Not a mud puddle. The sea. We're talking about mighty power. Verse 7, he ruleth by his power forever. I tell you, when you think about the eternal God is our refuge. Always has been. Always will be. He's there for us right now. Oh, I tell you, that warms my heart. That gives me comfort. That gives me joy to know that God is always there. And that Jesus, the same yesterday, today, forever, he's there. And specifically, he's there at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us. And we pray to God in the name of Jesus, because every blessing comes to us for his sake. Yes. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. There have been times there have been those that exalted themselves. God showed them whose power. You know, Daniel chapter 5, remember that? Daniel chapter 5, Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, okay? they made a feast, didn't they? And they sent and got the vessels that had been taken from the house of God. And they were drinking wine, and feasting, and reveling. I tell you, it makes me tremble just to think that anyone would dishonor those things in that way. For their drunken feast to be using the vessels out of the temple of God. That's when the hand appeared and wrote on the wall, "Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting." The kingdom was taken from them that night. That night. But Daniel had some things to say to that drunken king that night. Let me turn to that real quick. Daniel chapter 5. Daniel reminded this man of what happened to Nebuchadnezzar when he was lifted up in pride. Okay? Let's see, Daniel chapter 5, we'll begin verse 20. But when his heart, talking about Nebuchadnezzar, when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. They, who are they? That pride. When his heart was lifted up in pride, and his mind, his heart and mind, his heart was lifted up in pride. His mind was hardened in pride. They took him, his glory from him. And then he goes on to speak about what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Then, let's see. Let me read verse 23. Now he brings the thought to Belshazzar. And he says, but, let's see. Let's go back to verse 22 to get. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. He didn't learn very well, did he? He's not the only one. There's lots of folks that don't learn from the mistakes of others. But has, speaking of Belshazzar, but has lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of the house before of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. Thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not nor hear not, hear nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Yes, quite often the kings of this earth have risen up against the Lord. The rebellious exalt themselves, he says in verse 7. But he gets back to the idea that how we should be. Though they exalt themselves against God and rebel against him, verse 8, O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. Listen, just like I just read to you in verse 23 in Daniel chapter 5, the very breath we breathe is from him. You know, go all the way back to Adam. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. He never would have had God not breathed it in. The very breath that we breathe is his gift. We need to praise and adore his matchless name. Verse 10, for thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Many times through the rebellion and the disobedience of God's people, they've been punished. Sometimes God will send in a nation to take them captive or defeat them, whatever the case might be. But bless your hearts, it's happened many times. Verse 12, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. One thing I can think of about that fire is sometimes we speak about the furnace of affliction that they endured in Egypt. In Egypt, the great affliction, the way that the Egyptians afflicted God's people, they cried out to God, and God brought them out. He brought them through the water, the Red Sea. We've talked about that already, okay? Into a wealthy place. Can't think of a better place than the land of Canaan. God brought us, after he brought them out of Egypt, after they crossed the Red Sea, they came into the land of Canaan. A land that flowed with milk and honey. God gave them a heaven on earth. Told them that he'd fight their battles for them. He'd protect them against their enemies. He'd bless their herds, he'd bless their fields, he'd bless their families, he'd bless everything about them if they would just hearken unto his word. Okay. Verse 13, I will go into the house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows. Here, not only is he worthy of praise, not only are there those who live in rebellion against God, yet still we are to bless the name of God for all that he's done. And he says here, I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows. Do we owe God anything? Yeah, we owe him everything. Everything. Anything we have is a blessing from him. You know, Deuteronomy 8 says that, don't forget, you know, it's the Lord that gives thee the power to get wealth. Anything we have, he's blessed us with it. And so in the Old Testament, they had to bring the lambs, the bullocks, and the rams, and all those kinds of things, and sacrifice to God. Well, God had blessed them with it. But to make their sacrifice and to pay their vows, they needed to bring those things. What should we bring today? Yeah. Hebrews talks about the calves of our lips, even praise to our God. Do you mean God will accept praise just like he would have a burnt sacrifice in the Old Testament? Well, if you do it in the right way, he will. That costs something. You got to deny yourself. You got to humble yourself to sincerely and appropriately praise God. How often we've missed the mark. How often Israel missed the mark. Go back and read Isaiah chapter 1 and all the condition that they were in. You know, and God asked them the question, when you bring those offerings, who hath required this at your hand? Who required it? God did. And he deserved it. But oftentimes they would bring the lame and the leftovers. And, you know, Malachi touched on that, didn't he? Okay. Malachi, you know, they were bringing such sacrifices to him. And he said, you know, give it to your governor. See if he'll accept it. What do we give to God? See, it's not so much the amount, because the widow that put in her two mites, Jesus told us how valuable that was. It's all she had. It's what she had, and it's what she did. It's not the vast amounts. You know, there's some that are blessed with vast amounts, and they can give that. And if they have it, then they need to give accordingly. Whatever we find, wherever we find ourselves in life, what's important is where our heart is, and if we're cheerful with it in giving it to God, realizing that he's the one that gave it to us in the first place. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. Isn't that what Paul told the Corinthian church? Cheerful. We're getting back to that joy, aren't we? Joy in praise, joy in giving, joy in serving, joy in living each day before God, recognizing that he's the one that blesses us with all that we've got. He deserves our praise, our adoration, and for us to glorify his name for it. Every day. Every day. Even after tax day. All right. So he said, I'll go into the house. Into thy house with burnt offerings. I'll pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth have spoken when I was in trouble. Oh. Can you relate to that? You ever been in a scrape and said, Lord, if you'll bless me, I'll do this or that. We've probably all been there, haven't we? And I'm sure we were sincere. Because you see, such afflictions like that has a way of bringing us down, humbling us, making us see how weak we are and how much we need the Lord. When you get to that place, that's what pleases the Lord. When we realize how much we need him. As long as we're feeling our oats, as long as we think we can handle it, that's not pleasing to the Lord. But when we realize how much we need him, then that's what's pleasing unto him. And so David speaks about, if we made that promise, then we need to fulfill it. You know, it's better that you not vow a vow if you're not going to keep it. All right, so he sees, he knows, and we should be faithful, because he is. All right? Verse 15. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings, and with incense of rams I will offer bullocks with goats. Selah. That's the kind of things that were required of them to offer in that day. The law prescribed it. If they were going to keep the law, then that's what they had to do. Aren't you glad we don't live back then? Oh, just another reason to thank God for the life we have now. Okay? Come and hear, all ye that fear God. Again, we know they're the only ones who can come and hear, but even so, there are times when some of them don't come and hear. All right, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. It's good for us to tell somebody else what good things God has done for us. Don't you enjoy doing that? I love to talk about what God's done for me. I love to talk about what God's done for you. It didn't take very long at all for me to tell anybody what I've done for the Lord. And I really not interested in that anyway. All right? The wild Gadarean. Remember that? Remember that man? Oh, he was in terrible shape, wasn't he? Who would have thought that God would have mercy on somebody like that? But he did. The Lord had great mercy upon that man. Why, he went from being wild and savage and just, you know, they'd try to bind him with fetters and he just plucked them off with his fingers. I mean, there was something more than just mortal strength going on there, wasn't there? That demonic possession and all that, I mean, it just makes you fearful just to even think about what it must have been like to have been around that man. But then, he was seated and clothed and in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. What a difference. And he wanted to follow the Lord. He wanted to go with him. You understand that, don't you? My goodness, he's done such great things for us. We want to be where he is. But what did the Lord tell him? Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. You reckon we ought to be doing that? Okay, I got some good yeses there. Next question. When's the last time we did that? Well, I hope we've tried on a number of occasions. But he's done so much for us, we'll never get it told. That's the point. We'll never get it told sufficiently that there's no need to do it anymore. We can never exhaust what God has done for us. I cried unto him with my mouth. You've been there, haven't you? We're not talking about just mumbling a prayer that we might say each day. We're talking about in a time of trouble when we cried unto God. Sounds like to me there might have even been some tears. It was the last time you shed a tear in your praying. I tell you, it's when you can unburden your heart to such a degree and your trouble to such an extent that you cry unto God and you shed tears. I'll tell you something, there's some healing going on there. Because when you can do that, when you can feel his presence, what does he go on to say? I cried unto him with my mouth and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Boy, there needs to be, you know, I'm not sitting in judgment on the Word of God, but I'm just saying there needs to be a Selah right there. If I regard iniquity, in other words, If that iniquity, if somehow, you know, iniquity is filth. Let's just be plain about it. It's filth. And if there's something filthy in our lives that we regard, that, you know, we don't cast out, we don't say, we don't regard it as filthiness, but we hang on to it, the Lord will not hear me. Oh, that's plain. If there's something that would cause the Lord not to hear us, we need to do something about that, don't we? Because it's not going to change until we do. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But I'm glad he didn't stop there. But verily, God hath heard me. Oh, there's the joy now. We're getting back to some joy now. The Lord heard. Isn't it a joy in your heart when you feel like God has heard your prayers? I mean, it's tough when you don't feel like your prayers have gotten any higher than your head. I've been there plenty of times. It's hard. It's tough. But the answer is keep on praying. Don't get up and say, well, maybe I'll have better luck tomorrow. No, it's time to get more serious. But verily, God hath heard me. Oh, what a joy. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Now, that's joy. When you feel like God has heard you, when you feel like God's going to do something about it, that's joy. Because we don't deserve even his attention. We don't deserve that he should even take note of us, except through his Son. That's where our acceptance is. But in and of ourselves, our righteousnesses are as what? Still is. Oh, but in Christ, we've been made righteous. We've been made pure in him. And so he says in verse 20, blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. I tell you, there's more joy there. When we've cried unto him, he's heard our prayer, we feel like he's going to do something about it, and the realization that he hath not turned away my prayer nor his mercy from me. Listen, we need mercy every day. You know that. We need it every day. We prove that we need it every day. Oh, how good and how merciful God is. All but God, Ephesians 2 and 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for the great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. How wonderful. See, that's why we're to praise him. That's why we're to praise him every day. That's why we should give glory to his matchless name. We should honor him and do our best to bring glory to him in whatever we're doing, whatever we're saying, whatever choices we're making, and whatever footsteps we take. He's worth it. He's worthy of it. He's worthy of our praise. And he reminds us those sweet tokens that we receive from him as he gives us that feeling that he hears our prayers. You know, that's not always the case, is it? Oh, but when you can feel like the Lord's heard your prayer, that he's answering your prayer, and he's not turned us away, what a blessing that is. The longer I live, the more I realize how desperately important prayer is. it's so important to our spiritual health. You know, without sufficient praying, there won't be sufficient praising. There won't be sufficient thanking. When we're made to realize how merciful, how gracious God is, his mighty acts and all that he does, and that he takes note of us. He's mindful of us as we are. Oh, may God help us to do a better job of giving him praise and honor and glory each day we live. Okay. Any comments? Any experiences anybody wants to share? Someone have a number you'd like to close with? How about 213? 213. Glorious things of thee are spoken. 213. May stand while you sing. Glorious things of